I appreciate King's Cause. I'm always envious of singers, though. I've been preaching 45 years. I've never had someone stand up when I got done and say, "Preach another one, brother." You know, I always want the singers to sing another one. But I appreciate King's Cause so much. And one of the reasons I really appreciate, see where they are right now? I've been to a lot of conferences and that, where the singers, when they get done, they go out and smoke cigarettes until the preaching's done, then they come in and get their equipment, sell their tapes, and get out. But these folks, they love church. They go to church every Sunday. They witness for God. I know their lives, and I just enjoy hearing their anointed singing. I know you do, too. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I'll begin to read verse number 1, and out of reverence for God's word, would you stand as I read? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which was dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You may be seated. May God add his blessings to his holy word. It was troublesome days for young Timothy. Paul was concerned about him. In the third verse, he said, "Timothy, I'm remembering you and I'm reminded of your tears." He was concerned about Paul. Before this letter would end, he would tell young Timothy, "I'm ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day." He knew Paul would soon be executed, and he was concerned about him. He knew that everyone had left him. Only Luke was with him. Demas had forsaken him, having loved the pleasures of this world more. Another one went off to Galatia. Another went off to another place. And only Luke remained with him. He was concerned about Timothy, his health issues. He was having some kind of stomach problems. He also was under great pressure. People were despising him because he was so young, and maybe he didn't have the upbringing that some of them thought he should have. And he was under great pressure, and Timothy was concerned and troubled and burdened. And Paul was saying, "Listen, don't be afraid, Timothy." And Paul gave us some encouraging things to help us not to be afraid and to stand strong in perilous times. They truly were perilous times. Paul told young Timothy as he gets to the end of the letter, "You be instant in prayer. You preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but will master themselves, teachers having itching ears." And doesn't that sound familiar with the age in which we live? Truly, we're living in troublesome times, perilous times. Days right before, we're going to hear that call that the singers sang about. And it causes a lot of apprehension, a lot of anxiety, a lot of concern in our lives about what's coming to this world. We know who's coming, but what's coming before he comes. And I love this passage of Scripture because it gives us several things to encourage us and helps us to not be afraid. The first thing I notice about this text is, it said, "Timothy, I want you to remember the people that have gone before you." Oh, I know the unfeigned, that's unhypocritical, sincere, real faith that was in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Oh, Timothy, keep going. Remember your mother and your grandma that went on before you and what they endured so that you could grow up and teach you the scriptures. You have known from a child, it says in this third chapter. You have known from the child the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember those who have gone before us. I know Mike's daddy. I knew his granddaddy. I preached his granddaddy's funeral. And I know the unfeigned faith that was in them. And Mike, you keep going. Remember the faith of your granddaddy and those who have gone on before. Mark, I knew his daddy and his mama. His mama played the organ for us when I first came up here. Makes me feel old. Mark was just a little fella when I came here. And to see him grow up in the Lord and minister and for Christ is just so exciting to me. But I know the unfeigned faith was in his grandparents and in his parents. And he knew from a child the Holy Scripture that are able to make you wise unto salvation. We all had those that have gone on before us, not only in our families, but heroes of the faith. This 11th chapter of the book of Hebrew describes all of the great heroes of the faith, how they endured such terrible things against themselves and how they endured as seeing him who is invisible. And all those that have gone on before. I remember those that were elders in this church. And the first time I preached here 30-some years ago, some of those that were here then are not here now. Matter of fact, I knew about Sand Hill before I ever came to Lancaster County. Because 40 years ago, I was walking around outside of a meeting in Myrtle Beach, and there was this lady, and as Dr. Luke would say, she was great with child. And I said, boy, it's hard to sit very long in your condition, isn't it? She said, yes, man, it's tough. And I went on to introduce myself. About that time, her husband came up, and it was Lynn and Kenny Cato. And for 40 years, we've been dear friends. And when I knew about you, he talked glowingly about Sand Hill Baptist Church, and he talked about the elders and some of those that were in the youth group. I see some of them down here. When the youth group, when Kenny was here, you know, they're grown up and got kids now. Boy, I might not be able to make it to the end. I'm feeling so old here. but listen, you had a great heritage here at Sand Hill Baptist Church. The first verse of chapter 12 of Hebrews, after that great hall of fame of faith, says, seeing then that we are encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin and weight that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, we can't give up. We can't be faithless. We can't be fearful. Look at what our forefathers have gone through. Paul says, I with a clear conscience have served him from my forefathers till now. I think of our forefathers. I know my dad, my mother, went through two world wars and a depression. My dad was a paratrooper in World War II. I remember what my grandparents went through, how they sacrificed for me and for their families, and how they built such a great country. We cannot give up when we've been compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses that is watching us. Remember those that have gone on before, and that will encourage you to keep going on. Secondly, not only the people before us, but the prayers with us. Paul says, I never cease to pray for you, Timothy. Wow. Can't you know that? How would you like the Apostle Paul, the man that God used to inspire to write most of the New Testament? Wouldn't it be exciting to have the Apostle Paul praying for you? I appreciate so much when people say, preacher, I'm praying for you. I've got some prayer warriors in my church, and I know you have. I mean, the kind of people that if you're going to pray for rain, they show up at the prayer meeting with an umbrella. Amen. That's that kind of prayer people I want to have around me. I've had retired pastors. One was here last night and prayed, Brother Charles, and, And it's so encouraging, these pastors that have fought the battles for 40 years or 50 years. Brother Charlie had preached 50 years before he went on to be with the Lord last year. They'd say, "Preacher, we're praying for you." And wow, that made me feel so good to know that these men of God were praying for me. And great people that are praying for you. But I want to tell you something that's even beyond that. Simon Peter was fixing to fall off his straight and narrow. And Jesus said, "Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren." Do you know that he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God through him, because he ever liveth making intercessions for us? Wow. Isn't it encouraging to know that the Lord Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of God? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, that was tempted in all such every point, such as we, yet without sin, and knows how to deliver us who are tempted, knows how to provide the faith to overcome whatever we're going through. Isn't it exciting to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you? Boy, I could come behind this desk mighty as a lion when I know that Jesus has prayed for me. And he's prayed for you. He's praying that you be saved. It's his will that you be saved, for he's not willing any perish, but all come to repentance. He's praying that you endure, that you be strong, that you be fearless, that you be faithful. Jesus is praying for us. So not only the people that went before and the prayers that are with us, but the presence that is in us. We have not been given the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we've been given the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." We have not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. God endues us with power that we need not be afraid. You look at the scriptures and you underline the "fear not" words. Every time when we read the Christmas story, when he came to Zechariah, when he came to Mary, when everywhere when he came to the shepherds, the first thing was, "Fear not, for God's with you." One of my favorite verses in the Revelation, "Fear not, for I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I've got the keys of death and hell." We need not be afraid, because he's with us, his presence, he's endued us with power. God is our strength and our refuge, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we'll not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Israel, and he that formed thee, O Judah. Fear not. I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. When you walk through the water, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned, neither shall the flame be kindled against you. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Oh, we need not fear because of the endowment of power. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We need not be afraid, because we have that power that God has endowed us with through his Holy Spirit. The moment we were saved, the Holy Spirit came into our lives. That's how we know that we're saved. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, Romans 8 says, that we might know that we're children of God. John said in his epistle, we know we've passed from death into life by the Spirit that he's given us. Oh, we're endued with power. We're enriched with love. He says, you've been given a spirit, not of fear, but of love. John says, perfect love casts out fear, for fear has torment. He that feareth has not been made perfect in love. You know what will give you courage? Love. If you really love something, you'll not be afraid. One of our ladies loves to go to the mountains, and while she was in the mountains some years ago, they were having a little picnic, and some bears come out of the woods. Man, she just jumped up, went screaming, waving her arm and yelling, the bear took off. Bear probably got back in the woods and said, man, when them humans got their cubs with them, don't mess with that, they'll jump under with you. Listen, mama take on a grizzly bear because she loves her kids. People, if someone comes in, natural tendency to protect those you love. Man, if you love somebody and you love something, nothing's going to deter you from doing what you should and doing what you can. Perfect love casts out fear. He that feareth has not been made perfect with love. Listen, if you love Jesus, that's all you need. I told young Michael, I was chairman of the ordination committee for a number of years, and I always tell young preachers, there's one thing you need to know. There'll come a time when you feel the last place in the world you want to be is behind the pulpit. You'd rather be sitting down, let somebody else preach. There'll be times when you don't feel that you're appreciated. There'll be times when you just don't know if you're going to make another day. But I'll tell you what will keep you going. You love Jesus with all your heart. And nothing else will matter. I preached from Romans 13 Sunday night, and the preceding chapters is, owe no man anything but to love one another, for love is the fulfilling of the law. For in this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this one thing, that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love worketh no ill in his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. If I have the love of Jesus, then I'll fulfill all of the other commandments. If I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, and the second is likened unto it, Jesus said that you love one another as you love yourself. If you really love God, you'll not have other gods, you'll not take his name in vain, you'll not forsake his Sabbath. If you really love other people, would you kill them? Would you lie about them? Would you steal? Listen, love is the fulfilling of the law. But conversely, if I don't have that love for Jesus, if I don't have that love of God that he sheds abroad in our hearts through his Spirit, if I don't have his love working through me, then nothing I do really matters. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, I become a tinkling cymbal or a sounding brass. Though I understand all knowledge, have all knowledge, understand all prophecies, though I give my body to be burned, no matter what I do, if I'm not doing it because I love God and I love others, then it profits me nothing. Oh, we're endued with the power of God. We're enriched by the love of God. And we're able to love one another. I'm not able to love the unlovely. I'm like everybody else. I love those who love me. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Spirit that he's given us, the Spirit of love, one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. We're able to love as Jesus loved and see people as Jesus saw them. And we need not fear because we've been given a Spirit that endues us with power, enriches us with love, and enables us with a sound mind. We can understand the things of God because we have the Spirit within us. He guides us in all truth. You need not any man teach you. 1 John 2:26, but the anointing that you have will teach you all things. The natural man receives not the things of God, 1 Corinthians 2, because they're spiritually discerned. But you which are spiritual know all things, because you've got the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in us and we can think like Jesus thinks. We can be led. If we acknowledge him in all our ways, he'll direct our path. We can be sober, and we can have patience, and we can have long suffering, and, And we can have meekness. And we can have all the spiritual gifts through the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. And we have that enrichment through the presence of the Spirit that is in us. All the people that have gone before us, the prayers that are with us, this presence that's within us, and the promise that's ahead of us. God said He's called you for a purpose. The ninth verse said, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace." You were saved for a purpose. And God is going to fulfill that purpose in your life if you'll surrender to Him and you'll love Him. No matter what happens, we know that God's working and God has a plan. We may not understand it. I thought after all these years I've studied the Bible, all these years I've preached, all these years I've pastored it, that I know more than I do, but I'm just adding to the list of things I don't understand. When Mark sang Beulah Land, my bride and I sang that song for 40 years. Every funeral, some in our church request it all the time. And I don't understand. I thought she'd outlive me 20 years. She took care of herself. She didn't worry about nothing. I worry about everything. The doctor told me it was dangerous to worry. I've started worrying about my worrying. We had more people praying for her than I've ever known. I had people from Italy said, "I lit a candle for Anne over here in one of those great cathedrals in Italy." I had some friends of Wendy's that went to Beyonce's wedding over there in France or somewhere, and they said, "We went to the cathedral and prayed for Anne." People all over the world are praying for Anne. I don't understand. But I know God loves me, and I know He has a plan and a purpose, and I know that He works all things together for good, those that love Him. Not for everybody. God doesn't work everything together for good. That's only half the verse. To those that love Him and are called according to His purpose.
That's right.
He'll work everything together for good. I don't understand everything, but even though we're going through trials, we know that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And we know that we can count it all joy if now, if need be, we are in heaviness for a season. We have promises of God. This verse that goes on, it says, verse 12 says, and you all know this verse, "For I know in whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." Man, I'm so glad that it's not up to me to hold on to God. I might get sidetracked and let go. But He said, "I've got hold on you."
That's right.
And nobody's plucking you out of my hand.
That's right.
Unto Him that is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before His throne with exceeding joy. Be the only wise God, be power and dominion, glory and majesty both now and forevermore. Oh, fear not. There's been so many that's gone before us. There's so many. Even the Lord Jesus is praying for us. His presence is in us. His promise goes before us. We're never going to die. We're never going to fail. We need to press on and fear not. For He's with us. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll not fear. For He's with us. Unto Him that is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before His throne. Oh, fear not, young Timothy. Fear not. God's with us. Father, these are troublesome days we live in. But Lord, we can overcome, for greater is He that's in you, in us, than he that is in the world. If we draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. Lord, we're in all these things, we're more than conquerors through you who loved us. And so thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence and power. Lord, may you be glorified in our bodies, magnified in our spirit, which are yours. We were bought with a price. We owe it to you. Help us to not fear, but be faithful.